call to order the regular meeting of the Oceana Community Service District Board of Directors for Wednesday, May 25th, 2022. Roll call, please.
Director Gibson?
Present.
Director Montez?
Here.
Director Austin, absent. Vice President Villa?
Here.
And President White?
Here, thank you. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Excuse me. Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, before we had the agenda review, I suppose I should introduce, sitting at the eastern end of the table is Steve Montez, who is our new board member for the Oceana Community Services District, and I'm very happy to have him.
Thank you, good to be here.
Thank you. And he lives in the Mobile Home Park, and he represents our Latino community as well.
That's true.
Yes. Okay, let's go on to agenda review. We have anything? Anybody?
No. I make a motion we accept the agenda as presented.
A second.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Passed. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to public comment on matters not on the agenda. And I saw Mr. Varney. Yeah.
Would I disappoint you? Madam President?
Well, I saw you come in. I wanted to give you an opportunity.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Charles Varney. And sad to announce that the Cycle 6 Active Transportation Program grant proposal for in the neighborhood of $14 million to put curbs, gutters, and sidewalks in Oceano was trashed by the County Public Works Department. They refused to sign off on it. The reasons I'm really not clear of. They said they had to, they needed to do a needs assessment of the other communities of Shandon and San Miguel and Creston and maybe Los Osos to see if they had needs. Other than that, I'm really not sure. The good news is that there has been a commitment by SLOCOG to definitely go for the grant in cycle 7, which is 2 years away. It means we'll start working on it again in another year or so. And the county seems to be leaning that way as well. One thing that came out of it was, I think one of the oldest document I have documenting our infrastructure needs here is the 2000 specific, Oceano specific plan. But SLOCOG provided me, and some of you have it, I've sent it around, a 1980 Oceano plan. Maybe it's the original one. And in it is, what does Oceano need? Curbs, gutters, sidewalks, lighting, parks, recreation. Nothing new, but for 42 years it's been documented. I know that we have the election coming up, depending on which way A22 goes, we'll have different options. I did review the county budget. I saw that the county pays $649,000 for fire services in Cayucas. The county pays $393,000 for lights in Napomo. They pay Black Lake $367,000. I'm not sure what that's for. But there is money flowing to areas for fire, for lights, for the kinds of things that Oceano's been asking for many years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Varney, could I get, what was the name of that, the actual measure that you talked about, the county?
822?
No. The one where it was refused to sign off, you said.
That's, a grant proposal to, a major infrastructure grant proposal to the active transportation program.
So there's not like a Measure B or what have you?
No, okay. It's not a ballot.
Just a grant proposal.
This is getting money from the state transportation program.
Okay, special presentations and reports. I don't see anybody from the sheriff's office. I don't see Chief Lieberman. But I do see Tony Maricino, our operations manager. Thank you.
Good evening, board. Tony Maricino, utility systems manager. So I just want to give you a little update. Lopez is currently at 27.8% full, which is 13,729 acre feet. We had one SSO in the month of April. That's a sewer system overflow, and that was on a clean out that lateral has been replaced since. We're continuing to take state water, and we took just over 35 acre feet, and we pumped 19 acre feet in the month of April, which is a total deliveries of state water, which is 135 acre feet and 67 acre feet pumped. So we're continuing to do our weekly and monthly samples. We also participated in the Public Works Week at Farmers Market this past week, and it was a really good event, a lot of fun. We handed out toy hard hats to suckers, to things you could plant and grow. I also want to cover that the CCR, the Consumer Confidence Report, will be going out in this month's billing. So that'll go out to everybody who gets a bill, and plus the facilities that don't have bills, we will hand that out to the managers of the property. CCRs for them to hand out. So we had 15 work orders. We had 10 USAs. We had 13 customer service calls. We had 4 after-hours call-outs. One of them was for 25th Street for a pipe that was leaking going to a resident. Another call-out was a service line broke on 22nd and Paso. We replaced that. We also had a house on Paso that had new residents that they said they had no water. The house valve was shut off when we showed up. We also had a hydrant get hit on pier again. We did, it is getting paid for, reimbursed, but we're gonna have to do something about that location. You're all aware of it. Yes. And first round of fog, fats, oils, and grease is completed. We did a bunch of prep work for the light pole to be reinstalled on Highway 1. We did some prep work for the depot's driveway that was caving in. That's all ready to get paved as soon as the batch plant goes. We did some weed abatement at Wilmar 21st at the Basin. We actually got tagged by the Five Cities Fire Authority. It was a little bit overgrown. We took care of that. We had a main break on 4th Street. It's a 2-inch line from the 50s. We got that repaired back in service. Still continue to do trash pickup, cleanups, meter reads we had last week. We're doing rereads, notifications for leaks, comet codes, anything that needs to be repaired or fixed on our routes. We're continuing to do that. And then we had interviews for the utilities, utility position out in the field. That went really well, and we're still looking at the candidates right now. Any questions?
I have one, just clarification. You said that someone had to have their pipes replaced at a residence?
So a resident had a leak. We got called out to shut off the water so they could get it repaired. It was on the other side of the meter.
So you don't do the repairs?
So we own everything from the main to the meter, including the meter. On the back side of the meter feeding the resident, that is the property owners.
Okay. So that's, they have to pay for that?
Yes.
Yeah. That main, the 2-inch line, and some of these other line breaks, is that old piping, old lines?
1950s.
So it's galvanized. I mean,
it's steel.
Steel.
And it's just corroded away, and the best you can do is get it repaired or cut that section out and replace it. Yes, it does need to get replaced, and it is on our CIP plan.
Okay. That was, you know, it's it's right out there to be fixed later.
Yes.
Permanently, yeah.
Yes.
And 2-inch lines?
We still have a few of them in the system. We replaced quite a bit of them, but there's still a handful of locations that have a 2-inch steel line from the 50s.
You're replacing them with 4-inch?
Usually when you come in to replace it, it's with an 8-inch.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yes.
Serious?
Well, it does, and then it's adequately sized for fire protection.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. On the weed abatement, is that something you are generally called for when the fire department can't do it?
Oh, well, actually, this one basin is in the district's name currently.
I see.
But
okay.
The general manager is working on it to get that put back to the appropriate owner.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on, I guess general manager, Mr. Clemens.
Yeah, so I'll talk about that basin. What street is that? Is 22nd?
21st and Wilmar.
21st and Wilmar. So.
Oh, yeah.
When we got the weed abatement notice from the fire department, my first thought was, why do we have a drainage basin? Because we don't have drainage powers. So it was very funny to me that we would own a drainage basin. So that's when I started to look into it. So I went to the clerk recorder's office, and I was able to track down a resolution from 1983. And evidently, the County Public Works Department, for some reason, they never accepted that basin as part of a development that went in the 70s. But for some reason, they determined it was in the public's domain and felt that, for some reason, Oceano CSD should be the owner. And Oceano CSD accepted it in 1983.
Oops.
And I think what happened was the county was trying to get rid of some liabilities, and they foisted it on an unaware brand new board of the Oceano CSD that was only 2 years old. And so I'm trying to work with the county to get it put back in the county's name, because it's completely inappropriate that we should own a drainage basin that drains the roads in Oceano. And so there's more to come on this story, but we'll see.
I have a question. How large is it?
It's a pretty big basin. It hasn't been maintained in.
Could it become a pocket park of some kind?
No, it's pretty steep, and it would be a good hill for kids to take their cardboard down.
Make it into a skate park.
There you go.
We had the money. Yeah.
No, because I think it would fill up with water in the winter, and then it would become a lake if we ever get rain.
We'll make it a city pool then.
So you can drive by it if you want. It's on the corner of 20. It's surrounded by a fence anyways. It's pretty ugly to look at.
I think I know where it is.
21st and Wilmar, correct?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll check it. I'll drive by and check it out. Yeah.
But if for some reason the county doesn't want it back or won't take it back, my thoughts would be to sell it. So, but I'll have to discuss that with our legal counsel. So,
does it have to continue to be a basin, or is it critical to any flood project, or was it just forced on when a subdivision was developed?
It was with a subdivision.
Mm.
But if the county's saying they don't need it for draining their roads, then I guess it's not needed. So to me, it would be a valuable piece of property to sell to a developer and get some money for it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe that's our first, maybe that's the first thing we should look at doing.
No, I was just thinking, you know, could it be, I was serious about could it be filled in and be a pocket park, because we had a group of young men who had been granted some physical fitness equipment and stuff, and they were looking for a place to set it up for the public. Of course, then again, there's another liability bill. So, yeah.
And I'll remind you, we don't have any funding.
No funding for recreation.
To maintain.
Yeah.
Anything for recreation, so.
Yeah, potential funding, potential source of funding, yeah. Yeah. Sell it to somebody with a stipulation they make it into a park. Yes, thank you. Anything else, sir?
Yes, so continuing on, just wanted to welcome, as you did, Director Montez. Look forward to working with him. Just wanted to give you, since I've been on vacation, there's not a lot to report, but previewing June, we're gonna have a couple of items related to garbage. So we have our franchise amendment in order to have our South County Sanitation Services perform all the SB 1383 requirements for us. We have to update our franchise agreement. So we'll be bringing that to your board in June, as well as initiating the Prop 218 rate increase that's necessary to help pay for all of that. And you'll know that all the cities and all the other CSDs are going through that same process currently. So it's not unique to us. Also yesterday, I met with the countywide water action team, and they're beginning a desalination feasibility study. So by the end of the year, they're gonna want agencies to pass a resolution to kind of indicate whether they want to be considered in that study. And it's a no-cost obligation. So originally they wanted agencies to pony up some money to be part of that study. And I kind of pushed back on the county and said it's way too early for agencies to be spending money. That's something the flood control district should do for agencies. And I guess they agreed, because now it's gonna be at no cost to agencies. It's just the infancy of any desalination project. And it may lead to the conclusion that desalination isn't the right solution. We'll be bringing that resolution to your board by the end of the year. And just, you know, my thoughts are, we better be on board with this. I kind of liken it to when they started talking about state water in the 60s. Nobody needed the water then, right? Mm. But now think about it today. If you didn't have state water, the pickle you'd be in. So I see desalination kind of as the same thing. Even though we have such a good water portfolio, we have state water, we have Lopez water, we have groundwater. Unfortunately, those three sources all depend on rainfall. And we know what's happening with climate, it's changing. So if we get a lot less rainfall, that could impact those three sources of water that we have. So desalination is not dependent on rainfall. So there could be opportunities for us to partner in a desalination plant, and not necessarily you know, have it as a fourth source of water, but if there's agencies in the North County that need water, well, they could pay for the desal down here at the coast. We take the desalinated water, and we let them have our state water that's coming right through the North County. That's kind of an exchange. So this is a study that would look at all those scenarios and see who's the right, where's the right place to put a desal, if any place, which agencies could exchange water like that to help other agencies that need it, and then what are the cost implications for everyone. So it wouldn't necessarily cost us any more money to participate in a project unless we needed more water. And we're talking 30 years down the road. This is probably going to be a 30 to 40 year project. So who knows, maybe we would need more water by then. But we'll talk about that later in the year. I just wanted to kind of give you a heads up of what might be coming. And that's pretty much all I have for my report.
Any questions?
Yeah, I had a question about the desal. Are there any counties in the state that have attempted desal at all?
So there's a big desal in San Diego County, mm-hmm. and that was built by Poseidon, which was a private entity. Mm-hmm. So they also were trying to build one, I believe, in Huntington Beach that was just denied by the Coastal Commission this month. So I'm sure they'll try again. There's probably reasons why it was denied. Cambria has a form of desalination that they're trying to get permitted. Diablo Canyon already has one, so that would obviously be a location where perhaps expanding that one could work for our county. Santa Barbara County is interested, so they may partner with us. Mm-hmm. So there are a few counties that have looked into it, and the county of San Luis is trying to learn from all those others.
So is the San Diego one online then?
Yes, it's
and
online.
Is it successful, or is there a way to measure that?
I would say it's successful because it's working.
Okay.
I think it is quite expensive. Mm-hmm. But the thing with that one was the private business that constructed it took all the risk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if for some reason that project didn't go forward, all the public agencies weren't going to lose any money. It was the private company that took all the risk, and now they're going to reap all the profits.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but there's another source of water down there now.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody?
Yes. Will, do you know by chance with desalinated water, I'm trying to think of the word here. When you clean the water up, there's a residue for lack. I can't think of the word. What?
Brine.
Okay. What can be done with that? Is that thrown back into the ocean? Is that okay? And that's safe to do so, as far as you know?
I'm not the expert on that, but I know that, or I heard discussed yesterday. The Air Force Base, mm-hmm. Vandenberg, is looking into a desal plant, and they have a new, rather than just a fixed outfall, it's kind of like a snake that moves in the ocean. That's the new technology to disperse the brine.
Gotcha. Okay.
So there are solutions out there, but I don't know all the details.
Thank you.
Are we getting too far into a discussion on desal?
I just had the first thought was that somehow my logic tells me that there is a strong chance that whatever is developed will end up in Oceania. As far as the desal, I mean, we're just the logical place. So with that thought in mind, I encourage us to continue to be a part of whatever's going on in this. That's number one. Number two, is there any nexus between CC Blue and this at all? I mean, I know this is 30 years away, CC Blue's 10 years away, but.
Central Coast Blue is actually maybe 2 to 3 years away.
Oh, excuse me.
There's not really a connection between Central Coast Blue and DSAL. Central Coast Blue is more recycled water. DSAL would be a source of water. Yeah. They've already looked at locations, and the locations that they've kind of picked to do further analysis on are Diablo Canyon, which has an existing, expanding that one.
Yeah.
Morro Bay has an existing DSAL.
That's right.
Obviously up in Cambria, they've got an existing DSAL. South County Sanitary was one location, and Phillips 66.
Okay.
So those are the ones that I can remember.
Yeah.
So that those are the sites they're initially thinking about possibly siting, but this would go further into the details.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, what we've done with staff reports. Let's move on to director's reports. Vice President Villa, because you're first on the list.
Yes, the OAC met on May 12th and the 19th. At the May 12th meeting, we voted 3-2 to recommend against the renovation of the Oceano Airport and campground. And on our recommendation, these are quotes from the report we sent to the county. The basis for this decision is that those 60 county-owned acres, which comprise the Oceano Airport and campground, could be repurposed for better benefit of the community. Oceano is a small disadvantaged community that lacks many basic fundamental needs, such as sidewalks, adequate recreational area, businesses, et cetera. It also lacks large vacant lots to construct and accommodate these needs. Repurposing these 60 acres would help accommodate these needs. Also, we understand that the county might go ahead and go through with this project. So our council was concerned on the artificial grass and the negative impacts it could have on the environment there. Also, we are very in favor of accommodating the ADA requirements, the restrooms there and the parking lot and all that are not up to needs. We actually took a tour of the area, and the restrooms are very small. They you know, lack adequate ADA accommodations. And also, we were very concerned on the parking lot there being properly leveled off and to avoid flooding and stuff like that. Then on the May 19th meeting, we elected a new council officer, and our chair is actually here. We have our new chair, Charles Varney, present in our meeting here, and our new vice chair is April Dury. I will remain as the OCSD rep. And the meeting prior to that, I forgot to mention, Council Member Karen White, our president here, resigned from the council. And that's about it.
Ms. Villa, could I ask you, did you say, if I understood you correctly, the OAC voted against it, but the county decided for it? Did I understand that correctly?
No. The Oceano Advisory Council voted 3-2 against it.
Against it, right.
Against it. But we understand that the county will most likely go ahead with the project, so we want to make sure that they understand that we are very concerned about the artificial grass.
When will the county make this? When will they decide yes that they're or no either way?
I'm not certain. We turned in our recommendation because they only gave us 14 days.
Wow.
So I assume very quickly.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Director Gibson?
Yes. I had a meeting on May 19th with the Zone 3 Advisory Committee, and we had a pretty fast meeting. We did our normal updates on the water plant operations, reservoir storage, reservoir levels, etc. And then we did request, at our next meeting, we asked for a presentation of a detailed presentation of cloud seeding and find out how successful it has been for the last 2 years. And then on May 6th, I attended the State Water Subcontractors Advisory Committee, and mainly we discussed the Delta Conveyance Project, which is a single tunnel project, and the draft EIR will be ready this summer. And the project is on budget, and we did have a savings of $280,000 in the planning process for San Luis's district. So that was a good thing. And we will have the opportunity to decide whether or not to participate in the tunnel project when there is more detailed information. Thank you.
Okay. On May 18th, I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting, and the real good news is the project to add more facilities to the site is moving forward very well with no problems, no contacts, no problems with material supplies or anything. As a board, we approved a contract with PERC Water Corporation for a total cost of up to $329,000 for when the whole new project gets online. They are writing the plans for the startup, and they work with the sanitation department's employees for the first year on startup and operation consulting services and plans, and if there's problems or hiccups between starting it up, they're working on that. And I thought it was a pretty cool thing. You know, you walk into a whole new thing, well, these people are there to help you learn how to do it. It's just like you had a new computer system. Number two, and I was really proud of this, they added a new fixed holiday, Juneteenth, which is June 18th, for the personnel, and there's 10 employees that will get that as a paid holiday, and it's $4,200 a year. So they've added that for a new holiday. And then we also approved the 22-23 fiscal year budget and set June 1st, 2022 for a public hearing. Balanced budget is $21,545,700 and shows an estimate 10% increase for operational costs. You gotta remember that the sewer plant has lots of chemicals and lots of different things. So, and that's that meeting. And then on Friday the 20th, I attended the Five Cities Fire Authority. We approved the yearly happy resolution declaring weeds as a public nuisance and began the yearly abatement process. The final action and the final list will be on June 17th at the June 17th meeting, Tony, so you had a few more days. And yours was not the only public entity. San Luis County was also on the list of failing to abate weeds. And the Temple of the People in Oceano, and probably 125 different property owners, most of whom will get the first notice and then respond by cleaning up their property. And we conferred with labor negotiations, and there was no action taken. And then we received an update from Steve Lieberman on May 15th and 16th, there was an extreme number of medical responses by the Five Cities Fire Authority, and it resulted in the needs for mutual aid from Cal Fire and Pismo Beach, and at one point an ambulance responded to pick somebody up from Paso Robles. So that was it. It was that really warm weekend, and there just was a lot of medical calls, and just it was all over the county, and they were just barely running from one to the other, keeping up. So just something to know. And those are my reports. And at this point, is there any, let's see, board questions on reports and then public comments, right? Board have any questions or any more comments on your?
Did you say picking up someone from the city of Paso Robles or Paso
Robles
Street?
No, the ambulance came from Paso Robles to take care of somebody in South County.
Oh, wow.
The ambulance were coming from Templeton and Paso Robles to pick up. Otherwise, there wasn't enough fire guys, there wasn't enough ambulance. It just snowballed.
Right. So if SLO is tied up and
here,
then they start going out. And that's probably normal protocol.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, any public comment?
Charles Varney. On the airport project, it's $1.8 million that they're spending on it. And what they're waiting for now is a permit from the Coastal Commission for a coastal development permit. I would encourage the directors to put the brakes on this idea of selling this retention basin. We always hear that there's no room for a parklet or recreation because there's no vacant land. When I leave the meeting after this, I'm going to cruise by there and check it out. I think that we need more information. I'd really like to know what the neighbors in that area think about that retention basin. What could it be used for if it's not needed for retention? Which I guess the engineer screwed that one up if they have a huge retention basin in there that's not functional. So I'd like to really dig deeper into that. And given that it's a very valuable piece of property, I'd like to see the district hold on to it if there are other uses that can be had for it that benefit the public. So I'd just like to slow that process down. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to consent agenda items. Is there any questions or anything about the consent agenda items?
No.
No questions here.
I make a motion that we, no. Oh, sorry.
Seeing no one come forward, we'll move on.
So now I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Moved and seconded. We'll have a roll call vote, please.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Montes?
Yes.
Vice President Villa?
Yes.
And President White?
Yes. Okay. Then we will move on to business items. 8A is a presentation by One Cool Earth regarding our Earth Genius program at Ocean Elementary School, which is so cool.
Fantastic. Good evening, board. My name is Maria Kelly. I'm the board chair of One Cool Earth. Before I get started, I am super, I want to hand out our marine prevention debris manual that was developed this last year with a grant from NOAA, and we want to share it with you. Thank you.
What is this?
It's our marine debris manual.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah. We love talking about debris. We've had an absolutely fantastic year. We just welcomed our new executive director. We have an amazing team, and we just wanted to come here this evening. With me this evening is Evie Smet, and she's going to run us through the presentation. But thank you for years of support. We're so proud of the work at Oceano Elementary, and again, Evie will cover some of those highlights. We'd like to thank you for past support and hope for continued support. All these programs that we run throughout the schools in the district, in this district and other districts, we do a lot of grant writing and fundraising, and it's just a really exciting program. So, Evie, we can answer questions after. So,
do
Do we have a clicker or will I just signal you?
Yeah, just signal me.
Great. So yeah, we'll be talking about our Earth Genius program, which is the signature program of One Cool Earth. And I'm just going to run through highlights from this past year so you can see what kind of things we do.
Thank you.
You can move on to the next one. So the educator at Oceano Elementary is named Elisa, and she wanted to share that one of her favorite lessons is the monarch and milkweed lesson, especially being in Oceano where there is the population of those endangered monarchs. It's amazing to see them in the garden. You can actually see one there. And this year at many of our schools, including Oceano, we put in pocket gardens to support all of the native pollinators. So that was an exciting project. And she will be returning next year, and she's really excited to continue her relationship with all the students there. One thing that we do is offer taste tests frequently as part of our lessons, and those are really important to expand the palate of the students, help promote healthy eating. Of course, many of these taste tests are things we're actually growing in the garden and then getting them into the bellies of the students. Some of the exciting things they tried this year were garden-grown strawberries, lettuce, kale, and Elisa told me that fennel was a favorite, which was kind of surprising. They also do many cooking lessons where they'll try recipes. So beyond just trying produce, they'll try things like hummus or smoothies and make recipes and practice cooking together. Part of the Cooking Together program is funded in the past by the Sage Garden Project. They now are going to focus more on San Diego. That's where they're based. So next year, we will not be focused on the Sage Garden curriculum at all. But we get to retain the cooking cart, which is part of their program. So we will still teach cooking lessons with our own curriculum. And you can see they're doing one of our lessons, which incorporates cooking, which is where we learn all about the food supply chain, and they make orange juice and actually mimic different parts of the supply chain, which is really great. So we'll keep that up. All of our Earth Genius curriculum is extremely hands-on. So we have 8 series for a total of 24 signature lessons. They focus on many earth science topics. It could be soil, it could be weather, climate change, waste, water, all of the above, but all of the lessons have the common thread that they're very hands-on, so you can see in these pictures here, kids busy at work on the different activities that are paired with all of our educational content, and all of that is NGSS aligned, helps the school meet their science testing goals and things like that. One fun signature event that we host, and actually I believe happened last week at Oceano, is our family cooking night. So not only do they get to cook at school, they get to cook at home. We transitioned these to be a virtual event, which we've found to be even more successful because the students are making memories with their parents in their own kitchen and creating the habit of cooking and eating together as a family. So we'll send the students home with a kit with all the necessary ingredients, and then they get to be led by their educator and actually make these memories with their own family. Some of the major garden projects that we did to enhance the space this past year, one, we did a whole layer of mulch throughout the whole garden. Obviously, this helps with keeping the dust down. It also helps with water retention in the soil to sink it down into the groundwater. It also beautifies the space. It looks really fresh. Additionally, we installed a rain barrel to the garden shed so that we can actually capture water and use gray water in the garden and use that as a learning tool as well to share about water conservation. Additionally, we built a new compost system, a 3-section compost system. Again, is an excellent learning tool, also helps with the functionality of the garden, and then there's some educational signage to go with some of those different elements too. So we owe a big thanks to Elisa because she put in a lot of hard work and hours into the garden, and it looks really great. So if at any point any of you want to come see the progress, you're always welcome as well. We can set up a tour. One of our signature lessons is our waste audit lesson. This is something that we have really started to focus on. We purchased extra supplies for this lesson for all of our schools, including Oceano. They have things to teach about sorting waste, so we have a whole setup for this lesson, and this allows the students to learn how to sort waste at school, but also at home. And we also do trash pickups as part of this lesson. Additionally, they'll create their own signage for the receptacles around campus to create good habits and reduce how much is going to landfill on our school campuses, and hopefully they bring it home as well. And then just some fun garden memories. There's a lot that happens outside of the formal lessons. Often kids will spend their lunch recess in the garden doing fun arts and crafts, like you can see our little garden monsters there, or just helping with the maintenance of the space. It teaches awesome citizenship to beautify and put in hard work in the space and really take ownership over their school campus. And so, you know, many friendships are made in the garden. It's a really beautiful thing. I did also want to share our impact across all of our partner schools. So this has been our most impactful school year yet. We are in 23 schools, which is significantly more than any year prior. Oceano obviously is a part of that, and so we appreciate you supporting our most impactful year. In the 2021-22 school year, we distributed 1,378 pounds of produce. So that's all produce grown in the schools going home to families or teachers. We've taught 1,432 hands-on lessons, like the Earth Genius lessons that I was talking about. Cooking lessons are included in that as well. And we've served over 17,000 taste tests, which is quite impressive. So hopefully we got a lot of thumbs up on all of those. Students love what they get to try out in the garden. I think there was one little thank you slide, but that was all from me.
Thank you, Abby. Well, happy to answer any questions. A couple of other things is that we do run this program. It is a bilingual program in the schools that need, where we do Spanish translation, all our curriculum, as well as our GEMs that are in that program, our garden educators in that program. And these programs do run through for every student within the school. It's not limited to a grade. It's going to be provided to all the students. So that's kind of a really key part of it as well. But happy to answer any questions you might have. But again, thank you. Yes.
I have a couple. So I don't know if you know the answer to this. On your first page there on favorite lesson, talks about monarchs and milkweed. I had recently heard on one of these social websites, and someone had said that to be careful individually as a family to plant milkweeds, because we're taking away from where the, you know, the butterflies here set up camp in Pismo. And I didn't know if that was just hearsay. I actually have a milkweed plant, and I just got one because I love monarchs, and I know that's what they like to eat. And so is that something that's discouraged then?
Can never have too many milkweed.
Yeah, I've taught this lesson many a time, so I feel like I can speak to that.
Good.
I think what you might be referring to is there's a native milkweed. There's also a tropical milkweed, which is not a native.
Mm-hmm.
Both the monarchs will use as habitat, but it's better to use the native milkweed when possible. The tropical milkweed is almost like junk food for the monarch butterflies.
So there really isn't a room. There really isn't. It's okay to have milkweed in your home.
Yes, it's quite beneficial.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You had mentioned something about for a tour. I don't see a contact. Is there a contact number? Is there an email?
Yeah, you can always reach us through our website, onecoolearth.org.
Okay.
Great. The contact page and staff page will have all of our emails. Additionally, you can just reach out to the generic action@onecoolearth.org, and that'll get to me.
Gotcha. And
Carrie
finally,
also has our contact information.
Karen does?
Carrie does.
Carrie does. Great. Thank you. the 23 schools that you now, congratulations, you've got 23 schools on board with this. Are these elementary schools only, junior high and high schools, and are they in Slo County and go past Slo County? Where are these 23 schools?
We are primarily in Slo County. We do have one school in Guadalupe, and then we're primarily elementary schools with one middle school, which is the Tascadero Middle, and then we have two alternative education high schools, Paloma Creek and the Liberty in Paso.
Yeah. And we are working currently in the Tascadero Middle School and are preparing an agreement for Lewis Middle School in Paso.
So the two alternative high schools, correct?
Yes.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all my questions.
I had a question. Do kids actually eat kale?
Yes, they do. I am not teasing because I've been an educator as well. They're so excited to eat things when they get to pick it. Mm-hmm. Also, they think kale looks like a baby palm tree. I hear this over and over again. And so they get super excited to pick it and eat it. Yeah, it is wow. Crazy how if they're served it at home, it might be a different reaction than when they're picking it themselves. So it's really impactful.
Or put it in a drink with other, right, and make a little super green drink with
that
kale in it.
That helps too, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you for your time.
Do you have more questions? I have a comment.
Yes.
So our stormwater capture project that we're going to be constructing at Oceano Elementary and on 19th Street that we've just finally signed our agreement. We have our grant in hand. It includes an education component that we're going to be required to educate the students at the school on stormwater capture, and I believe we're going to partner with One Cool Earth, so that's another project that we can continue to work with them on.
Yay.
Yeah. And my question or comment would be, and I haven't really looked at the budget that closely, but I would hope we, with everything going on with integrated waste and garbage, I hope we have enough funding to make sure we can support. I hope it's in the budget.
Yeah, it's been included in the proposed budget for 22-23.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
I like that.
Good.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a slide. Thank you, Carrie.
All right. Who's in charge here? Okay, we'll move on. Oh, I didn't call for public comment, but there was no
public. For the record, there's no one in the public.
Yeah, for public, there was no one to come forward. And we are now going to 8B, which is a workshop on our 2022-23 budget with board direction as deemed appropriate. And I just did my direction.
Thank you, President White, members of the board. In 8B, we have prepared the draft preliminary budget for your review. So based on board direction tonight, we'd bring back the preliminary budget on June 22nd, the second meeting in June. So any changes can be processed before then, and you would be able to set the hearing for June 22nd for the preliminary budget. So I have a slide for pretty much each fund. So we'll start with this one. So this budget was prepared consistently with last year's budget. And we'll go over the differences between this year's budget, the current one, which is fiscal 21-22, and the proposed one for 22-23. So we'll start with the general fund. So the estimated revenues and property taxes are estimated to increase by 4%, and that's used for lighting and fire in your general fund. And then the other sources of revenues that come into the general fund are basically just the admin allocation reimbursement from the other funds. So the admin expenditures included in this draft budget have also increased by 4%. And a line item that is a part of your proposed budget for next year that isn't in the current one would be the election expense for the June and November elections, and that's for $24,000. So that's the largest difference from last year to the next year. The next fund we have is the fire fund. So revenues here are from property taxes, and you can see on page 60 of your packet, we basically transfer in our property taxes from the admin fund to the fire fund. And the fire fund presented to you in this draft budget is basically the same as last year, and it's only increased by 0.14%, and that's because it's based, our Five Cities Fire costs are based off the third amendment to the JPA, which is established our funding for the past 3 years, and so that has been locked in, so there's no real increases there. And I know President White had a question if the budget is reflecting if Measure A22 had been passed, and it's not. So this is as if it isn't passed. So then we move to the lighting budget. So the proposed lighting expenditures are increasing by $2,820 from the fiscal year 2021-22 to the next one. And that's an increase of 6.55%. Then we move to our facilities funds. So the operational surplus for the proposed budget for 2022-23, and I can already see a typo that, sorry about that. it looks like we're comparing the same years, but they're not. But the operational surplus is $125,000 in the facilities fund. And it's important to remember that this is the final year that the facilities fund will be paying the wastewater fund for the building of the sheriff's building. So the revenues are scheduled to also increase for the sheriff's building in the upcoming year because the lease is about to renew in September. So this is the last payment and it'll be on July 1st. Then we'll move from the general fund to the enterprise funds. So the first one in the enterprise fund that we'll go over is the water budget. So water revenues are projected to increase by 1.8% from the previous year. So this is based off, we went over it in the third quarter budget review where basically the consumption's been dropping in the past years and our comparison showed it was coming out to almost 10,000 units difference. So we've adjusted the proposed water fund to reflect that total. And the revenues are based off the rate increase that was adopted in October 2020, which also includes capital improvement project line items. So from our previous year of 2021-22, we set aside $75,000, and for the upcoming year, it'll be $115,000. So that is for capital improvement projects. And that was part of the rate study that was adopted. And other than that, expenditures remain very consistent with last year. So then that moves us to the wastewater budget. So the wastewater fund has been drafted for this upcoming year with another deficit. And this is, once again, to remind everybody, like I said, in the facilities fund, this is the last year of the interfund transfer. And also a difference from last year to this year that we have in the proposed budget is we included $25,000 for the new wastewater collection system study that was discussed at the sewer system management plan that we reviewed earlier this year where we said we wanted to set aside some money for that. So that has been included and is different from the previous year. And it's important, you can see here in revenues, there's really no change because unlike the water fund, there's no yearly increase. And obviously that's something we're gonna need to address in the upcoming years because we haven't increased the rates in some time. And the last, second to last, enterprise fund is our garbage budget. So they have been drafted basically the same as last year with the reduction in franchise fees for 5% instead of 10%, which we did in 2020. Your board adopted a resolution. And then also, the same as last year, we've included $10,000 to the One Cool Earth program in expenditures, which we've done since 2017. And as Will had discussed earlier, we will be starting the process with South County Sanitary Services to initiate the Prop 218 process. And then our last enterprise fund is the equipment budget. So the equipment fund is funded through the three other enterprise funds, the water fund, the wastewater fund, and the garbage fund. So basically, they pay to support this fund. So you can see that we've increased expenditures by 5.81% for maintenance and fuel, for equipment and vehicles. And that is the only difference there. And then that, I believe, is my, yeah, that's my last slide. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I can take notes of anything you guys would like to have changed before June 22nd. And I do know if there are no changes, we are setting June 22nd as a public hearing. So we would do that at the time we make a motion. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Yes, can you say, you talked about this election. Is that notated here in our little notes?
Yes, so I can pull the page. If you go to page, it'll be on page 55 of 89.
Okay.
And it'll be probably halfway down the page, you'll see we've budgeted $24,000 for election expense.
And what exactly, what does this fund go to?
So this is the administrative fund, and it's allocated to all the funds based on a percentage. And I actually have it here because I wasn't sure if anyone would ask. So 3% of this fund, so it's basically the expenditures. So 3% of this fund goes to fire, 1% goes to lighting, 2% goes to facilities, 60% goes to water, 30% goes to wastewater, and 4% goes to garbage. So all these expenditures here, so personnel, services and supply, and operating crew overhead, are all allocated out to the funds based on a percentage that was adopted by the board.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I just had a comment on the overall budget. Because we're paying off the sheriff's station this year on July 1st, that left a lot of the facility revenue from the sheriff that we get from the county available to fund things. Now, typically we would like to spend that on facilities, but because we're waiting on the election for fire, a lot of that is going towards fire. But in the past, we've had to pull out of our reserves or our bank account to fund fire, and this year we didn't have to do that. We're actually putting $5,500 into our bank account this year. So we're not deficit spending, as some ex-board members used to say, to fund fire this year. So I think that's a good thing. That we're actually covering all of our costs this year and putting $5,000 in the bank. But that's because we've paid off that loan that we were paying on for the building of the sheriff's station, and we're using that money now to fund fire. Just so you know.
Good. So, Carrie, do you see any foresee anywhere in the budget that we might go over budget?
Based on having all the history here with, I believe it goes from 2014 to these are actuals to 2021, I feel pretty confident that we would be within these numbers. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
I have one question I'm not completely clear on. So we didn't deficit spend this year on fire at all. You stated that clearly. But if the measure does pass, how much more is it going to be if the measure does pass?
So If the measure passes, that will generate $410,000 in additional revenue. And so our expenditures, so what we did with Five Cities Fire is when the last measure failed, instead of getting kicked out of the Five Cities Fire Authority, we said, wait a minute, can we stay in a couple more years and try again? But you're gonna have to freeze our costs mm-hmm. at the existing level. So we've been paying at the existing level for 3 years now. So those costs haven't been rising. But if this passes, then we're gonna have to pay a lot more for fire.
Well, should be fine. We shouldn't, because of the paying of the building. Is that what you're saying? That if it passes, we still would not be deficit spending?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Okay.
You continue on? You said, so if this measure passes, so are we catching up from that frozen cost that we were held at? Are we back paying on that?
Well, that we get those costs from Five Cities Fire Authority, so I can't speculate on what they're gonna charge us. But we know that our estimate was we needed another $400,000 to fund our share to get three people in this fire station. So I'm anticipating that when the measure passes, we'll have enough money to pay Five Cities Fire for those personnel. Now, things could change.
Right.
I don't know what those costs are eventually going to be, but right now with our estimates, we feel we can fund it.
But I thought you said that if the measure passes, we're going to be paying more for something fire, and then you got cut off.
If the measure passes, then Five Cities Fire can charge us what it should be charging us for three people in this station.
Okay.
And they can start hiring people.
Okay.
But if it doesn't pass,
okay, that's what
then the costs are held at what we've been paying for the last 3 years.
Gotcha. That clarifies. Thank you.
With the drought continuing, are we going to be able to cover at least some of our infrastructure improvement on water? I mean, I see our rate, the revenue we thought we would get is barely there, isn't it? Or are we covering enough to go forward?
Yeah, we're, I think our last quarterly update that Carrie did showed our revenue is dropping a little bit because of conservation. However, our expenditures are also lower. And our expenditures are under by more than our revenue. So
okay. Yeah.
we're still fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And are we going to need to look at going back to, with our garbage franchise, back to taking that 10% that we, that would, you know, I'm thinking of the One Cool Earth program, and I'm thinking of our cleanup programs that really do benefit the whole community.
Yes, we will need to go back to the 10% at some point in time. I don't think right now.
Because the rates are going to go up anyway.
Rates are going up.
Yeah.
We could raise, this would be the time to raise our franchise fee back to the 10% because it's the Prop 218 process. But we're also trying to spend down our balance in our garbage fund.
Yeah.
And right now we have plenty in there. So,
yeah.
So until we get to the level that we feel comfortable, I would recommend keeping it at the 5%.
Yeah.
And then maybe a couple years down the road, then maybe the next rate increase process is the time we raise it back to the 10%.
Yeah, there's no point in taking money away from our customers if we...
Right. This is going to be a significant rate increase.
I know.
And so I would hate to add another 5% to it if we don't have to.
Yes, yes. And I'm assuming the increase in lighting is because of the increase in costs for electricity?
Yes, electricity and repairs.
Yeah, we had some more repairs, so I based it off, or last year, so I basically incorporated more repairs.
Okay. I think that's all. It was...
People seem to like to hit our light poles.
And our fire hydrants. I can't believe that.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And that's, I'll bring that up as another question. I'm just going through because I had some questions that I thought I had. I think I'm pretty satisfied. Yes. Okay. Do we need to know? Okay, this is so we don't need to take any action tonight.
You need to make a motion to set June 22nd as the date of the public hearing for the board to consider adoption of the
Sorry. A motion to set June 22nd, 2022 is the date for the public hearing for your board to consider adoption of the fiscal year 22-23 preliminary budget.
So that's moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Roll call vote, please.
I will, just for the record, there's no members of the public, so no public
yes.
comment.
Yes. Thank you.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President Villa?
Yes.
Director Montez?
Yes.
And President White?
Yes. Back to the agenda. Okay, we have no hearing items, received written communication and late written communication, nothing. I do have something I would like to be put on the future agenda. I think with the changes in membership on this board, I think we need to go back and reevaluate our committee assignments. And I wonder if that could be put on the first June meeting.
Sure.
Could that, I believe to our bylaws, we can do that at any time.
Yes.
Because I realized we have a member who has no assignments. Actually, we have two. But so I think we can come back in June and look and see what we want to do on that.
Can I have a request?
Yes, sir.
So on future agenda items, we have this list of items that I believe doesn't need to be listed out here. Can I remove these from the agenda? And I say that because the count, I'm used to the way we did it at the county, where, you know, the secretary would have a list of items that was, you know, scheduled out for months. They knew what was scheduled on the agenda, but it wasn't listed on the agenda for the public to see. I think this future agenda item is a good thing to have on the agenda to discuss, like what you just did, to direct me what yeah. you would like to see on the next meeting's agenda or the next month. And then I can just keep my own schedule of when those things are gonna come on, but I don't believe we need to list it on the agenda, is what yeah. I'm kind of requesting, that we just take this off of the written agenda.
Unless something would be coming up date specific that you wanna advertise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something, you know, like,
We don't need a to-do list.
Yeah.
Because we know we have to do it, but.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these things, it's
been there for a year and nothing's happened.
Right. It's going to come when it comes.
Lopez water contract amendment, is that coming soon?
It's dependent on when the county gets it to us, so. And that's another reason. You know, it stays on here because, you know, I'm just waiting for them to get me a contract to bring to the board. So, why do we have it listed on our agenda? It's just, it's a little bit silly to me.
Yeah. I don't know that future hearing items either.
Yeah. So if we have a specific date for a hearing item, we can put that on here.
Yeah, like the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no objection. Anybody else see any challenge?
No.
No objection.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we have any closed session tonight? Well,
I want to ask Tony one more question. That fire hydrant, do they back into it or they go forward or?
They like to do a U-turn on a pier and then they hit it with a trailer of ATVs.
Okay.
That's how it was struck this past time.
Four times?
Roughly four to six.
Wow.
Is there any way we could paint it another color? Glow in the dark, fluorescent. I don't know. I'm just saying.
The best bet to do is probably contact the property owner. We maybe put some ballards on the private property side, so it's least protected from that side.
Is that where it gets hit? It's from the property owner side?
A lot of times. This past time, it was hit from the street side.
You just didn't put it in.
Say again?
You had just put it in from the last repairs, didn't you?
Yes, we just put it into service, I want to say within a week to 2 weeks ago. We just, it got ran over by a four-wheel drive truck doing a U-turn also. They drove up on the sidewalk.
Do we have to buy a new hydrant every time or just repair?
This one, it was salvageable because it did not shear it completely off, but it broke it to a point it was about 1,000 gallons a minute.
Wow. And they have to pay for the water?
Yes. Yes, they do.
And the breakage and the repairs?
Yes, and the call out and the reinstallation.
So how much would that be approximately?
This one, since the hydrant was salvageable, was just over $980. When the hydrant's not salvageable, it's roughly
$5,000. Wow.
Hydrants are about $4,000 a piece now.
So is that something their insurance pays for?
They can claim through their insurance or come pay for it with cash.
Yeah.
Is there any way to put a flag or anything on it?
I'll look into options.
I mean, I maybe talk to Five Cities Fire and see. I was just thinking if it had some kind of a lightweight flexible pole, we could just repair the flag. No, I mean, you know, they make, they're like whip antennas. They've got a lot of flexibility. And with the flag, at least maybe if you were backing up, you might see it better.
Yeah, I'll look into some options, talk to Five Cities Fire Authority, and see if we can come up with a solution.
I mean, I know it's made to. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.